Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn and Anna Mateo. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
A deadly earthquake struck near Osaka, Japan, early Monday, causing hundreds of casualties, damaging buildings, and leaving many homes without water or gas. The epicenter of the 6.1 magnitude earthquake was just north of Osaka at a depth of 13 kilometers. Japanese officials said at least 3 people were killed and more than 300 injured. No tsunami warning was issued. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said authorities were investigating the damage and seeking to provide safety to those affected. Japan's NHK television showed collapsed walls, broken windows, and water leaks throughout the area. Tens of thousands of people lost power after the quake, but officials said most areas got electricity back by midday. Damage to underground gas lines left at least 110,000 homes without service in the nearby cities of Takasuki and Ibaraki. Full repair of those gas lines could take up to 2 weeks, officials from Osaka Gas Company said. Underground trains were halted so tracks could be inspected for damage. Service was restarted later in the afternoon. Among the dead was a 9-year-old girl killed after being trapped under a collapsed wall at her school. More than 1,000 schools were closed in Osaka and nearby areas as wall cracks and other minor damage were found. Japanese soldiers joined rescue and relief operations in parts of Osaka, bringing special vehicles to deliver clean drinking water. Officials warned of strong aftershocks throughout the area and urged people to stay away from damaged structures. Earthquakes are common in Japan, which is part of the seismically active Ring of Fire. The area covers the South Pacific through Indonesia and Japan, across to Alaska, and down the west coast of North, Central, and South America. A 7.3 magnitude earthquake struck near the Japanese city of Kobe in 1995, killing more than 6,000 people. Monday's quake followed a series of smaller ones reported near Tokyo in recent weeks. Parts of northern Japan are still recovering from the 9.0 quake and tsunami in 2011 that killed more than 18,000 people. I'm Brian Lynn.
From VOA Learning English, This is the Health and Lifestyle Report. It is widely known that smoking tobacco can damage the lungs. But many people do not know that it can also cause heart disease and stroke. That information comes from World Health Organization officials in Geneva, Switzerland. The WHO marked May 31st as World No Tobacco Day. The WHO's 2018 campaign focuses on the damage smoking does to the cardiovascular system. Health experts at the WHO say that cardiovascular diseases kill about 18 million people each year. Tobacco use and secondhand smoke exposure cause nearly 17% of all heart disease deaths. They add that tobacco use is the second leading cause of cardiovascular disease after high blood pressure. Douglas Betcher is the director for the prevention of non-communicable diseases at the WHO. He says most people know that smoking increases the risk of lung diseases and cancer. However, studies show many of these same people do not know that tobacco use can also cause heart attacks and stroke.
There are major gaps in the knowledge of cardiovascular disease risks of tobacco use. And in many countries, these knowledge gaps are very substantial. That the percentage of adults who do not believe that smoking causes stroke are, for example, in China, as high as 73%. For heart attacks, for example, 61% of adults in China are not aware that smoking increases the risk.
Knowledge is power. And in this case, knowledge can save lives. The WHO project manager of tobacco control is Vinayak Prasad. He says that in some cases, the body can repair the damage caused by tobacco use.
Smokers stop smoking. The risks from cardiovascular diseases is gone in 15 years.
Yeah.
So 15 years after quitting, the risk of CVD is that of the same as I never smoked.
The UN Health Agency says more than 80% of tobacco smokers live in developing countries. It adds that the number of smokers in the developing world is increasing. However, there is good news about smoking and tobacco use in some parts of the world. The WHO reports that tobacco use worldwide fell from 27% in 2000 to 20% in 2016. And it says the number of smokers has decreased in all areas except for the Middle East and Africa. Reuters news agency reports that anti-smoking gains are losing ground a little in China, the world's most populous country. Reuters notes that in 2015, the Chinese government announced a series of measures that were part of the WHO's Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. The measures included a tax increase on tobacco products, written health warnings on cigarettes, limits on advertising, and banning smoking in some public places. Thanks to the government's actions, tobacco sales nationwide dropped for the first time since 2000. China's state media reports that in 2016, after officials in Beijing banned smoking in public places, tobacco sales dropped 8%. However, a public smoking ban recently failed in another of China's cities. Hangzhou is a popular city for travelers. It is also home to Alibaba, the large internet business. Smokers in Hangzhou can still light up in some public spaces, such as train and bus stations, as well as drinking establishments and karaoke clubs. Reuters adds that the China National Tobacco Corporation led local opposition to a general widespread ban on public smoking. The state-operated company is responsible for about 7 to 11% of China's taxes, and sales are rising. Reuters also reports that in 2017, China Tobacco sold 0.8% more cigarettes than the year before. Experts at the WHO claim that what they call the global tobacco epidemic kills more than 7 million people each year. They add that close to 900,000 are non-smokers who die from breathing secondhand smoke. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
Germany and Brazil joined the list of top teams struggling to win their opening matches at the 2018 FIFA World Cup soccer tournament in Russia. Defending World Cup champion Germany suffered a 1-0 loss to Mexico on Sunday. Just a few hours later, Brazil was held to a 1-1 draw by Switzerland. In addition, top-ranked Argentina tied 1-1 with Iceland on Saturday, and Spain and Portugal played to a 3-3 draw on Friday. Sunday's Germany-Mexico game was historic. It was the first time Germany has been defeated in a World Cup opening match in 36 years. The four-time winners have reached at least the semifinals at every World Cup since 2002. This year, Germany entered the World Cup as one of the favorites to win the tournament. But if they are to do so, Germany cannot lose or tie when they play Sweden and South Korea in their remaining group games. Also on Sunday, Brazil failed to win their opening match against Switzerland. The match ended in a 1-1 draw. Brazil is second in the most recent FIFA World Rankings. The team had been ready to begin this year's World Cup with a win after its exit in the last World Cup in 2014. That year, Brazil lost 7-1 to Germany in the semifinals. Then they were defeated 3-0 against the Netherlands in the match for third place. The Brazilian team coach, who is commonly known as Chiche, spoke to reporters about Sunday's game against Switzerland. He said he would not make excuses for the poor result. There was a lot of pressure and anxiety on the players, and that translated into the finishes that were not precise. We had 20 finishes, but we should have made the goalkeeper work harder, he said. Swiss coach Vladimir Petkovic also spoke about the game. He said he was proud of his team's performance. He added, "The first 40 minutes were tough for us, and at halftime, I told the players to stay cool and press forward. They did, and it worked." Germany will next play on June 23rd against Sweden. Their final group game will be June 27th against South Korea. Brazil will play against Costa Rica on Friday. Their final group game will also be June 27th against Serbia.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The presidential election of 1928 gave American voters a clear political choice. The Democratic Party nominated Al Smith. He was the popular governor of the state of New York. The Republican Party chose Herbert Hoover. He was an engineer and businessman who served as Secretary of Commerce for Presidents Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge. Rich Kleinfeld and Harry Monroe tell us about the presidential election of 1928.
Governor Alfred Smith of New York had campaigned for the Democratic presidential nomination in 1924. But he was defeated at the party convention by a compromise candidate, John Davis. 4 years later, however, Smith could not be stopped. He had a strong record as governor of the nation's most heavily populated state. He campaigned for the presidency on a policy of building new electric power stations under public control. Smith knew that many conservative Americans might be worried by his new ideas and his belief in strong government. So he chose as his campaign manager a Republican industrial leader who had worked with General Motors, DuPont, and other major companies. Smith hoped this would prove his faith in the American private business system.
Al Smith was a strong political leader and an effective governor, but he frightened many Americans, especially conservative citizens living in rural areas. They lived on farms or in small towns. Al Smith was from the city. And not just from any city, but New York City, a place that seemed big and dirty and filled with foreign people and strange traditions. Al Smith's parents came from Ireland. He grew up in New York and worked as a salesman at the Fulton Fish Market. Smith was an honest man. But many rural Americans simply did not trust people from big cities. Al Smith seemed to them to represent everything that was new, different, and dangerous about American life. But being from New York City was not Al Smith's only problem. He also opposed the new national laws that made it illegal to buy or produce alcoholic drinks. And he had political ties to the New York political machine. But worst of all, in the eyes of many Americans, Al Smith was a Roman Catholic.
From George Washington through Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and up to Calvin Coolidge, every American president had been male, white, and a Protestant Christian. Of course, there was no law requiring a candidate to be Protestant, but millions of traditional Americans just were not ready to give their vote to a Roman Catholic. Opponents of the Smith campaign generally did not speak openly about his religion, but many of them were afraid that Smith would take his orders from the Vatican in Rome instead of working with the Congress in Washington. Al Smith fought back. He told the country, "I am unable to understand how anything I was taught to believe as a Catholic could possibly be in conflict with what is good citizenship. My faith," he said, "is built upon the laws of God. There can be no conflict between them."
But many Protestant Americans thought there was a conflict, and they looked to the Republican Party to supply a strong candidate to oppose Smith and the Democrats. The Republicans did just that. They nominated former Secretary of Commerce Herbert Hoover, one of the country's most popular men. Hoover was well known to Americans. People trusted him, and they liked the way he had gained great personal success from poor beginnings. In fact, Hoover's life story would have pleased Abraham Lincoln, another American who rose from a poor family to fame. Hoover was born in the farm state of Iowa in 1874. His father was a poor metal worker who kept moving his family from state to state. Herbert Hoover's father died when the boy was just 6 years old. His mother died 4 years later. Young Herbert had to move to the western state of Oregon to live with his mother's brother. Herbert's uncle was luckier in life than Herbert's parents. He had made money in the land business, and he helped the boy gain admission to Stanford University in California. At the university, Herbert showed great skill in mathematics, and he decided to go into business as a geologist, studying the science of the earth.
After college, Herbert Hoover got a job as a mine worker. During the next several years, Hoover spent most of his time working as an engineer in foreign countries. And he succeeded beyond his greatest dreams. By the time he was 40 years old, he had earned more than $1 million. After World War I, he organized the effort to provide food for starving people in Europe. He did an excellent job, winning praise from people in Europe and the United States alike. Next, Hoover joined the administration of President Warren Harding, serving as the Secretary of Commerce. Again, he did a very good job. Hoover left the cabinet in 1925. But 2 years later, he organized efforts to provide relief for victims of a flood in the southern state of Mississippi. And again, Americans all around the country took note of this quiet, serious man who did such effective work in so many different kinds of situations. Some Americans, however, did not like Hoover, including some people who usually supported Republicans. For example, many professional Republican politicians did not trust him because he had spent most of his life in business, not politics. Some stock market traders thought Hoover might change the rules on the New York Stock Exchange. And many farmers believed Hoover had no new ideas about how to solve their growing economic problems.
This, then, was the choice Americans faced in 1928. On the one hand, Al Smith, a Democrat, a Roman Catholic, a politician from the city, a man wanting some social change. And on the other hand, Herbert Hoover, a Republican, a businessman who had proven the dream that even a poor boy could become great in America, a man who seemed to succeed with every effort he touched. The main issue in the campaign was not economics or religion, but the new national laws banning alcoholic drinks. Hoover was for the laws, Smith against them. The two candidates also argued about how to provide aid to struggling farmers and how to increase electricity and water supplies.
Herbert Hoover won the election of 1928. It was one of the greatest victories in presidential history. Hoover won 58% of the votes. Smith got just 40%. And Hoover captured 444 electoral votes to Smith's 87. And so it was that the engineer and businessman, Herbert Hoover, entered the White House in 1929. There was some trouble the day he moved in. Outgoing President Coolidge was a man who watched every dollar he owned. And he accused some White House workers of stealing his shoes on the day of the inauguration. But finally, safe, conservative, businesslike Herbert Hoover was leading the country.
The nation's stock market reacted by pushing stock prices to record high levels. Everyone expected that economic growth would continue and expand. But the happy times were just a dream. Within 1 year, the stock market collapsed. Millions of people lost their jobs. The nation fell into the worst economic crisis it had ever faced. Herbert Hoover was not personally responsible for the crisis. In many ways, it was his own bad luck to be elected just before the disaster struck. But it was his job to guide the nation through its troubled waters. And he would prove to be the wrong person to give such leadership. His 4 years in office would be one of the most difficult periods in the nation's history.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.